Welcome to Sharing Socks. We are recording a day late this week because Will got all huffy and puffy and decided to do real work on Wednesday. So hobnobbing with Hollywood stars, all that kind of thing. So we're doing this on Thursday, but it doesn't matter because Wednesday's game got rained out anyway. Suspicious rain out, I thought, since Louise Robert was not available Wednesday, but will be Thursday. And it wasn't really raining much in Chicago. We're only 8 miles from the ballpark, and it was drizzling. Anyhow, I'm Lee Allen, the duty geezer at Southside Sox. With me, my son, West Coast correspondent Will. I am wearing good Chicago White Sox gear, hat, and hoodie. Will is wearing a Kansas City Royals hat.
Hi, what's up? I'm Will Allen. Welcome to Chasing Crowns, the first episode of my new Kansas City Royals first place podcast. No, I'm sporting this today because the Royals, for some reason, have earned their spot in first place in the American League, and the White Sox have done some things to betray my trust recently, that a certain manager in Kansas City probably wouldn't do compared to our certain manager.
So you're not being totally influenced by your wife, who happens to be a Royals fan.
She's more of a White Sox fan at this point, let's be real. But, credit where credit's due until we start playing better than the Royals, which could be, if we have a good doubleheader today, I'll switch back. But after that last game, let's go Royals. Am I right? That was a crap show.
Oh boy, there's been a lot of really, really bad baseball so far, I think, and that one was as low as it goes. The man behind you in the picture there, over your right shoulder, the viewer's left, for those who are on video, certainly did some really stupid things during that game. Although I will say he's not the one who went 0 for 426 with runners in scoring position. But Will's got a picture behind him for those on audio of Tony La Russa finally coming out, I don't know, 52 batters late, to pull out Lucas Giolito on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Seems long ago. And inexplicably leaving him in as he did. The best thing that could be said was Lucas didn't seem to get hurt. But
I mean, that's definitely really the only thing to be said. It was a terrible decision. That's the type of thing La Russa is supposed to be good at. And he left his ace out on the mound to sort of die. And it cost them a game, big time, big time. A
You
game that
let
you have to win.
Billy Hamilton and even worse, Leury hit in the eighth with two men on base, the 3-run game. It was very strange, but he's probably not thinking totally on baseball. There's so much that they may have lost how many outs were in that inning where he finally pulled Lucas, because his pet show, his animal rescue charity, is in apparently big trouble with the massive complaints from former employees. And I heard one mention of Tony making a racist joke at the annual dinner. Not looking good there.
I read the joke. You can discuss it all you want, but it's a racist joke. There is no way around it. It is just straight up a racist joke. If I made that joke to a black person right now, I would expect to be punched in the face. So that's usually a pretty good guideline of where to start in jokes you should not make. Is would it get you punched in the face? And that joke would, and it was. It's nasty. It's nasty. It's nasty that he thinks he can say stuff like that. And I'm not surprised at all. I mean, look at him in this picture. Doesn't even know how to wear the mask. How long have we been doing this? Under the nose. But yeah, he has done virtually nothing helpful this season.
The one thing that I thought, and this actually may have won a game, was in the Texas series, the 2-1 game. He brought in Billy Hamilton to replace Andrew Vaughn quite early, seventh inning. Usually your defensive replacement doesn't come till later. And that saved the game because Billy made the throw home that got the guy at the plate, which Vaughn would never have made. He can't throw that far. So that was a plus. But basically, we know he's a jerk. We know he's an arrogant blah. But the thing was supposed to be that, well, he's a great baseball mind, So we take the ugly personality because of the skills. I haven't seen skills. And I'm not, you know, we're not the only ones. You do the write-ups. You're on Twitter. I'm not, but I can imagine what the Twitter's like about it. There's not a lot of great baseball management skill out there.
No, none whatsoever. I mean, yeah, you've got, congrats. You pulled the crappy fielder for the good fielder in one game. That's not exactly an impressive resume, 22 games into the season. And then just terrible, terrible management of the bullpen, terrible management of the starters, not knowing when to pull people. It's a disaster so far. This team is 12-10. We're sitting behind the Royals. We are far behind the Royals.
You know, one thing, I am a big fan of Jason and Stoney. I think they do a terrific job. And Stoney's analysis is absolutely terrific when it comes to pitchers. Well, to anything, but especially pitchers. But they've had this thing. They did it last year where they said, well, the American League Central is the best division in baseball because they had the best record. But they only were playing. The only way they got that is playing the National League Central.
Right.
And, you know, the two between them were 2-14 once it got to playoffs where they had to play other divisions. They were not the best division. They were the second worst. They just happened to be matched up with the worst. Then this year they've been going, well, in the Sox, most of it's terrific because most of their opponents have been over 500. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But one of those is the Red Sox, who will end up fourth or fifth in the East. One of those was the Mariners, who will end up fourth or fifth in the West. And now that they've had this big sweep of Texas, which incidentally there are colleges that could sweep Texas, you get the team that's going to be last in the West, and they just lost to the team that's going to be even worse than all of those and last in the American League. And if it were not for the Pirates, has got worst in majors sewed up. It's really been a very soft schedule, even though some of those people have winning records. Just as we say, well, don't worry about the fact we're just 500, you know, before the Texas series, because it's early in the season. Well, it's the same thing with those guys being over 500. It's because it's very early in the season and bizarre things happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're still at the point of the season where the records are essentially irrelevant. You know, I know I'm complaining about being 12-10 because we should be higher up. We should have more wins against the teams that we have been playing. And that argument that you said people are making of, well, they're good. They're over 500. They have good records. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What teams that come out of the gate really hot end up making it the whole way? It's not very common.
Well, it does happen. The Dodgers are going to make it the whole way.
Well, yeah, the Dodgers are going to make it the whole way. Dodgers are going to make
it. Yeah, but we haven't played the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the A's, the Rays, the Astros, which are the good teams of the American League. So we have benefit of a soft schedule. I now think we're going to win the division because Minnesota is not good at all. And they're not just losing; they're losing badly, and they've got COVID. You know, everything else problems.
Yeah.
We played the National League Central, which is I think a little better this year. Milwaukee's better. Cardinals a little bit better. But it's still a terrible division.
They're terrible. It's a terrible.
So we get the benefit of more wins there because they're so awful.
The only thing.
All very nice. And I'm not, you know, this is a Sox are a good baseball team. It sounds like we're really bad. No, it's a good baseball team.
Yeah.
Maybe not performing at that level. Your picture, which the audio folks don't see, also has the back of Yasmani Grandal out there as Tony is taking Lucas out of the ballgame. Our catching situation.
I chose this picture with Grandal's back in hopes that this was the moment he was walking away and never coming back. But it looks like we're still stuck with him. 6 hits, 4 grounded into double plays through 22 games. That's all I'm going to say right there. That is absolutely.
It's and he won't. I mean, this is an experienced guy. This isn't a rookie who's got to do what he's done since high school and pull the ball every time. He's hitting right into the shift. He could do little things that would beat that, change the shift around and whatnot. Of course, a lot of players have this problem. Collins, Zach is now hitting 200 because he had one 3-for-3 game, but that was a fluke. He's really a 150 hitter. Grandal's a 120 hitter. I still wish that your mean Mercedes would get a chance behind the plate. If nothing else, in a game that's five runs up or down, given the last few innings, yeah, you lose the DH. So what in those games?
Well, or just start him. Just start him in one of these little doubleheader games.
Yeah, one like Detroit. They had a seven-inning game against Detroit. Give him a start.
Who cares? Just start him. You know, he's most likely not going to cost you the game any more than Grandal does, which is fairly frequent nowadays. I just don't get why you don't give him a chance back there. Do I expect him to be great? Absolutely not. But
one thing he does is throw people out.
Yeah.
People don't steal on him. So that's that.
People to stop stealing, and we need a guy who can hit. And Grandal is just lost. He is lost. To have 11 walks, which is good. He's tied for the most walks on the team. But to have 11 walks at this point in the season and have an on-base percentage of .280 is insane. I mean, that is just shows you that you're.
I thought everybody you were talking. Very first, I thought you were talking about your mean. You're talking obviously about Grandal.
No. Your mean is. I mean,
it's 420 something every day. And I don't know if you noticed. Did you watch Tuesday night's game? The debacle with the five errors in the sixth inning. There should have been error number six. Your mean hit a routine ground ball third. I looked it up. It was 80 miles an hour. It was not a hot shot. And the third baseman, in and out of the third baseman's glove. And the official score gave him a hit. And I think from now on until he becomes human, that's what's going to happen. Because no home official score is going to cost him the batting title. So now, even when he hits a little bouncing ball to third and the guy kicks it around for a while, it's going to be a hit instead of an error.
That was my double take moment of, well, there were 1,000 double take moments of that game. But that was actually the one that surprised me the most, was looking up and seeing that H instead of that E. And I was like, oh, I guess your mean has wheels we don't know about. We've seen him run hard. I feel like we've seen the speed top there, but that was ridiculous scoring. But you know, whatever, hits, errors, we don't score.
It probably comes, you know, how a hitter who is reputed to know the strike zone well will get the calls on the edge, just like a pitcher who's got good control will get the calls that are could go either way. Whereas the guy who doesn't have any control, good luck. And maybe it's that way with hits and errors, you know. The guy's hitting really well. Must be a hit. Guys, Grandal hits it. That's an error.
But it was foul. Well, it's a hit. It's a hit if you're mean to hit. It's in the stands. Well, ground rule double then. Let's do this. We should take a quick break. We will come back. I may switch to a Sox hat out of guilt and the fact that we're getting a little closer to game time. But we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Sharing Socks. I did not change my hat because they did not earn my respect yet. Geezer, what else you got for us?
Well, I think we go over to pitching. Yesterday, we're doing this again Thursday before the doubleheader, but they did do some press stuff because of the rainout on Wednesday, and La Russa was saying that Crochet, they're really working on a repeatable delivery, which is good. I mean, they got to do that. He did not have it. And I mean, the guy got hurt every six innings in college, let alone when he came up to the major leagues. So yeah, he needs to be, so he's not hurting himself so badly and so he can repeat. So they're working on that with, you know, and so his fastball's 96.
Yeah. You know, which is still good, but it's nothing compared to.
Yeah, and it's nothing when he doesn't. His slider is not working very well, so they're really pushing the changeup, which is good. Excellent guy to have a really good changeup. But again, the Crochet is kind of in the fringe there.
Kind of a thing with Crochet. Before we move on from him, is I remember we're watching. You know, it must have been the early 2000s. We were watching Dontrell Willis pitch, I think, for the Marlins. And whoever was commenting that game said, you know, Dontrell Willis, and this was before it, Willis actually ended up getting even better and was pretty solid for a little while. But he said, you know, right now we're watching a great thrower and we're not watching a great pitcher. We're still watching a great thrower. You can get guys out when you're a great thrower. It was true of Aroldis Chapman really early on. I mean, he was throwing 103, so he was still getting guys out. But we were watching a great thrower. We weren't watching a great pitcher. And that's exactly what we're seeing with Garrett Crochet. The kid can throw. There's no doubt about that. But can he repeat it? And can he create that type of command that's going to get him those calls that you were just talking about earlier? Can he do the Tom Glavine thing where he can hit the outside, then just go another inch out, then another inch out?
Oh, come on. Glavine went another foot and a half out.
Exactly. Exactly. But that, I mean, that was the genius of Glavine. Glavine had insane command. He knew he could throw the ball here, here, and here by choice and get the strike call on all three when none of those were actually strikes. And that's the type of thing you need from Crochet, is you need to find that repeatable delivery and then start figuring out how to move the ball a little bit more so that we see that type of command over the pitching and we see him move from being a thrower to a pitcher. And I do actually believe that he will be able to do that with Katz helping him. And that's what you need. Otherwise he's going to have a really short career. He's going to tear up that arm. Really bad all the time, like he had.
I think there's no danger right now the way he's throwing. Well, there's always danger with any pitcher, but there's much less danger than there was when you watched him pitch last September, briefly in October there. That one you're going, oh boy, we'll be lucky if he gets through a batter. Now you're going, he's okay. He's just like any other pitcher, but yeah, chance of getting hurt. Another pitcher, Michael Kopech. La Russa is saying, he said this earlier, will not be a starter. Yeah. And now I understand Kopech hasn't pitched in 2 years. You don't want to load a bunch of innings on the guy, a bunch of pitches on him. But you'd think that he'd gradually want, so he's at least ready to be a starter down the stretch in September if we need him, into the playoffs where I think we're going to go. Boy, it'd be nice to have him in that position. And
it makes no sense to me. Kopech is he's a video game right now. I mean, the stuff he's throwing is, it's filthy. And
it doesn't look like he's using much effort. Well, obviously, you are. You're always concentrating 100%. But it's not strained. Mm-hmm. It is a very smooth, comfortable delivery. So I'm not sure why he can't. And I can see, well, if he starts, he's only going to go 5 or 90 pitches, right, or whatever it may be. We're not going to throw the guy 120 pitches. Perfect sense. But why he can't be a starter rather than be the guy who comes in the third inning when you're down 5-1, I don't understand.
And totally agree with that.
Find out today, we've got the doubleheader going. Carlos Rodon, who, of course, has been, that's my guy, who I hated to see when they didn't have him for a while, is pitching one of them. And Dylan Cease, your guy, who has nothing.
Whoa. I have never said Dylan Cease was my guy. Unless he has a great game today, then way to go. You're my guy, Dill. I mean, I agree with you about Kopech. Using him in these games where we're just getting whooped is pointless. And we've got starters who barely make it to the fifth inning as it is. So you might as well throw Kopech and just say you're going to throw him for 5. You know, keep him under 100 pitches if you want. But also, you know, he's young. He just took a year off. Let him pitch. This bullpen thing, when you got a guy who is throwing absolute electricity, it's stupid to save for these long bullpen outings when you're losing. I mean, it's different if you're planning to pitch a game by committee. But definitely, you know, at this point, we should be seeing Kopech start in Cease's place. And maybe you could argue in Keuchel's place, but that's never going to happen because he's a Cy Young winner. He's a veteran. He's a starting pitcher. He's going to stay a starting pitcher. But I would actually like to see Dylan go into that role get a little more work.
Yes.
In the long bullpen slot, or even down in AAA for a little bit, but
yep.
In the long bullpen slot, and let Kopech start the game and just see what happens. Why are you making these decisions that he's not going to start games already? It's just stupid. It's just another stupid La Russa thing that I can't get behind.
You mentioned Keuchel. His last game statistically, if you're looking at the Bears stats of hits and runs and walks and whatnot, was his strongest of the season. He got hit hard. Now, just as was the case in the losing game to Detroit, he got hit hard on the ground, just like their pitcher did in that game. So, yeah, if your guy's hitting you 105 miles an hour and it goes right to the shortstop, that's an out. Well, unless it's Detroit, it's an error. But he still was getting hit hard. He's not getting the old Dallas Keuchel 80 mile an hour exit velocity ground ball.
Absolutely.
They're pretty much shot. So we'll see his next time out if he's still getting a little bit better, or if that was just a lucky event that occurred there that he didn't give up more runs than he did.
I mean, I'm definitely worried about that. I'm not, you know, as Southside Sox goes, I'm definitely not the biggest stat nerd or person who depends on exit velo and stuff like that. But I will say that's really concerning. I mean, there's such a huge difference between a 100-mile-an-hour ground ball and an 80-mile-an-hour ground ball. Main thing being the 100-mile-an-hour ground ball has a much better chance of finding a hole. And it is a concern. And he's an old guy. I think he's younger than me still, but he's an old guy. And I have worries about that. And I really have concerns that he is virtually never going to go past the fifth. Almost never this year.
Yeah, the last time he went the sixth, I think, but that was a rarity. Mostly it's been fine.
Exactly. I mean,
in fact, until this last game was the first time that he went past the 60 pitch mark.
Right.
Without having big problems. I mean, the other games he made it to 70 pitches originally, but as soon as he hit 60, he was in trouble.
Yeah.
And that last time
sort
was
better. What I mean when I say fifth inning.
But it was also a very bad team.
Yeah. And, you know, these are teams that we should be kind of cutting down with these pitchers. We have some good starting pitchers. We should not be having trouble making it farther into the game. It's just,
and the bullpen shouldn't be having the kind of trouble it's having against these teams either.
Well, the bullpen has been pretty much a disaster, which is kind of funny, since I believe if you listen to me right before the season start, on one of our podcasts, I said, if there's anything we don't have to worry about this year, it's the bullpen.
And I think the only thing I put as a proviso on that was, well, bullpens can't be flaky. I didn't say, oh, no, it's not good. The whole world said, hey, this is probably the best bullpen in baseball. It's not.
Yeah.
Of course, Hendricks given up four homers. That last one was not a pitch in the guy's eyes. I can't necessarily blame him for that one, but
oh yeah, that was crazy that he got around on that. I mean, yeah, I didn't blame Hendricks for that one at all. That was actually a really well placed pitch.
It's disappointment because I thought he was the best. I mean, I think he's a star, and he hasn't been his bummer. I think every time he's come in, the first guy's gotten on, mostly with walks.
He's got no command.
Command is not there.
And that's it's tough because he needs to have command to be good. You know, he doesn't throw the 100-mile-an-hour pitch. His ball is all depending on movement, and if people are just going to watch it head out of the strike zone, that's no good. I mean, it's not going to get him anything except these walks to lead off innings, which is, of course, as we know from Little League on up, the number one thing you don't want to do is walk the first batter. Tim Anderson almost always makes you pay if you walk him when he takes his one walk a year.
He's had three.
Oh, wow.
Two in one game.
Great. But yeah, I mean, bummer has been, for lack of a better phrase, a bit of a bummer. And, you know, Marshall is we don't know what we're going to get exactly. Foster has been pretty much a mess. Hoyer has not been the guy that
dominant.
Thought was going to be. Yeah, it's underwhelming.
Ruiz is Ruiz. You didn't expect too much from, and he's doing fine by that basis.
Yeah, honestly, Ruiz is the only guy who's met what I expected from him, and actually maybe even exceeded it a tiny bit. Everyone else has fallen behind. Hendricks, I do think, is going to figure it out. Again, in reality, I think he's only given up 3 homers. But when you're a closer, you can't give up homers. You just can't. You got to make sure you're not throwing the home run ball. You got to make sure. Because that's, the easiest way to just blow the game. I don't know what's going on with the bullpen. I don't know how they're going to fix it. It could just be early season stuff. That could absolutely 100% be what we're dealing with here, that they just have not clicked. They haven't gotten their rhythm. That often happens with bullpens. You see bullpens start pretty weak, and then as the season goes, they sort of figure out their thing and they start to lock it down a bit more. But it is aside from management, it has been the most disappointing thing of the season so far. That isn't named Grandal.
Jose, of course, is starting off very slowly, but that's Jose. That's what he does. So
yeah, I mean,
not worried about that.
No concern whatsoever with Jose. Yeah.
The White Sox have won. Is it 6 of the last 8? 5 of the last 7. The 2 losses, the only losses, with the guy behind your picture there with Giolito on the mound.
Right.
That's weird. Yeah.
That's your ace, right? No, I mean, the stuff that the Giolito getting trounced last week is, it's just going to happen sometime.
One of those days. Yeah. Happens to everybody.
It's going to happen. And then in this last game, what are you going to do? He actually pitched pretty well for 6 innings. You know, he shouldn't have lost.
Yeah, he just should have been taken out and had a good game.
Yeah, it was an absolute quality start until La Russa forgot everything he knows about what he does well and left Giolito in too long. I don't really have any concerns about Lucas. I think
I mean, if it turns out he has an injury that we don't know about yet, I mean, it could be, but I don't think so
because he looked really fine for 6 innings.
He threw a lot of pitches.
It's not
perfectly
like
sharp.
It's not like they took him into the 7th and he was at 70 pitches and he was gassed and we just didn't know it. I mean, he was well over 100 pitches and La Russa just made a bad call.
And you know, the call I think is worse. And I was disappointed on this with Rodon after the game, after the no hitter, where he was left in for more than 100 pitches again. The talk preseason, not just the White Sox, but everybody. Pitchers can't throw that many pitches, especially early. They didn't throw much last year. They need to really get into it and groove and get set. They're probably not going to have any 200 inning pitchers this year, which reminds me, Lance Lynn should be back next time through the rotation here.
I think we'll have a few, but yeah.
But they were saying, you know, these guys are, you're going to have to take it easy on guys because you don't know how the short season impacts them. And yet what we're doing, we're throwing guys out there over 100 pitches regularly. I understand we've been talking about the bullpen being pretty bad, and that's a factor in any decision. But boy, and we've had a lot of days off. So the starters are going every 6th or 7th day. It's ridiculous schedule. After Sunday, we're off Monday, play 2 games in Cincinnati and off Thursday, which means you're going to be jammed when it gets to the end of the year. I don't understand all these days off. They don't make any sense.
I have no clue why the schedule.
I mean, that's obviously not the White Sox fault. That's a wonderful commissioner's office, but
which is weird. This is the first miscue of the commissioner's office.
They had it nailed before this.
we'll finish on this, which is the 7-inning doubleheader thing is just shameful. It is absolute crap. And the fact that we had, you know, Madison Bumgarner throw a no-hitter the other day that will not be recognized because of this stupid 7-inning thing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I understand why that is, because I know I've looked up no hitters years ago, and you'd be, you know, most of them obviously are nine innings, some more, but there'd be a reference, five innings rain, seven innings rain. So those counted 40, 50 years ago. Why don't they count now?
Because they made in the commissioner's office, which we are fans of, they made the decision, and I think maybe with the players as well, that if you throw a no-hitter in those shortened doubleheader games, they do not count. And that is a rule that is only in play, from what I understand, for this year, and they could change it for next year if they wanted. But yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Okay, you just have an asterisk or a parent, you know, parent six.
No kidding. I mean, I totally agree with you. And just the fact, you know, someone on Sox Twitter today had a great tweet that said, "It's a beautiful day for baseball. Let's play 1.56. And that really summed it up for me. These seven inning games, I mean, that's high school. That's what we play in high school. Like, I can't get behind this. And it's just money-grubbing garbage and stupid pace of play crap that I just have no interest in watching. These seven-inning games are shameful. If Rodon takes, you know, knock on wood, a no-hitter into the late innings or something again, I will be livid on our next.
Maybe, you know, maybe you could make up for this. This is how you make up for it. You ask the pitcher if he'd like the game to continue.
That's what I actually had that thought. After I watched Baumgartner, I was like, well, they should ask him if he wants to throw two more. And then if the other players are like, because they're of course going to be like, yeah, we want a chance to hit it. Like, we don't want to be no hit, even with the rule that says we weren't. Like, I think if you say, all right, guys, something cool is happening.
And all your teammates are going to go along with it.
Want to keep playing? That'd be cool. Everybody's going to want to play. It ruined that game of baseball to end it when they did. That was such an exciting game. And then just dumb. Stupid. Commissioner, you are stupid. And if you come on the pod, I probably won't say it to your face because that's a pretty big get for us. I'll probably, in fact, butter you up a little bit. But that's all the time we have on Sharing Socks. Let's hope that next week I will be back in White Sox gear that they have earned me wearing. Anything else? Any last comments from the geezer?
Nope.
All right. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to Sharing Socks.